Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Are you walking in light? Are you walking in goodness, righteousness, and truth? Are you hungry to find out what is acceptable to the Lord? If you're here today, I believe that. I believe you're hungry. I believe you want to know what's acceptable to Him. Have no fellowship, verse 11, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'm just praying for light today. I just believe he wants to expose the darkness. And sometimes we're too quick to look outside at the world and say, dark, 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 evil, evil, evil. And we aren't letting the light shine within us. And we aren't letting him expose what's within us that he wants to free us from. And so I'm just believing today that there's going to be light shined in the dark corners today. There's going to be healing. There's going to be freedom. There's going to be confession. And when we confess, guess what? We don't condemn. We celebrate. If somebody comes to you and confesses their sin, husbands and wives, don't shame each other. Don't guilt each other. Celebrate. When somebody comes up to me and says, I'm struggling, I'm giving in, I feel the temptation, I look back at them and I just say, praise God, because we're free and we're supposed to walk into freedom together. That's what he wants for you today. He wants that today. So if somebody comes to you and they confess, don't look at them and be like, oh, yeah, you're terrible, you're bad. No, 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 no. There's no condemnation in Christ. He can't heal what you hide. But when you bring it out into the light, guess what? The devil's lost his power over you. And so when there's confession that happens in this house, there's no shame, there's no condemnation. There's celebration. Because we know this is that first step into freedom. This is that first step into renewal. That's what he's going to do today. But it takes a bold first step to first bring that out into the light and confess. First of all, we confess our sins to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You're forgiven. Take it to the Lord today. You're forgiven. But in James, it tells us that there's healing that takes place when we confess to each other. And so maybe you've brought it to the Lord, but you might need to just tell somebody. You might need to tell a brother. You might need to tell a sister. You might need to find somebody today in the house of the Lord and say, listen, I've been struggling. I've been walking in darkness, but I feel the Holy Spirit just convicting me today, and I want to get free. I don't want to walk out of here bound up in chains anymore. And so I'm just believing he's got freedom for you today. Don't walk out of here still wearing your chains. He came to set you free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name. So good. Sometimes I come up here and I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? It's like, I'll give you the words. People are like, did you write all that down? No, I didn't write any of that down. I didn't know. He just gave me a verse, said, read it. And the Holy Spirit just moves. That's what he does. Some of you, you're feeling that right now. You're feeling the movement of God. You don't even know what it is. Your hands are tingling. Your hands are getting a little numb. You feel some fire. You feel like the hair standing on end of your arms. And I'm telling you, you're feeling the presence of God fall on you right now. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. This is your room. This is your place. You're going to do a work. You're going to expose darkness today. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would look within, that we would not be so quick to look outward, but that we would look inward. That we would confess and repent, that we would walk out in freedom, that we would walk out in healing today. Jesus, I just pray that you would help us see the connection between what is going on in the physical and what's going on within us spiritually. That we would see there's a connection between the flesh, between the soul, and between the spirit. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in this room today, that you would expose, that you would renew, that you would regenerate, that you would just move in a fresh way, that we would hear you in a fresh way today. Jesus, I just praise you. We just give you the glory. Thank you for the light that you're about to shine in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Timothy 18 says this. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. What is Paul doing here? He reminds him of his identity right off the bat. You're a son. You're a spiritual son. Paul is a spiritual father. But more than that, you are a son of the Father in heaven. Don't forget your identity. Stay rooted in your identity. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. That you may wage the good warfare. Jesus, may we wage good warfare today. May we wage good warfare every day from here on out. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected their conscience. Some have rejected what the Spirit has spoken and built into them. Some have rejected the truth. That's what Paul is saying here. Some have rejected that concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. When we reject our conscience, when we reject the law that the Spirit has written on our hearts, when we do what we know is wrong because he's written what is right on our hearts within us, we reject his word. And what happens? It results in a shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander? He calls them out by name. If you reject the truth, to teach false truth, to teach a false gospel, what does Paul do? He calls you out by name, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Jesus, teach us your truth today. Look at 1 Timothy. There's something say, we're going to have a lot of the scripture up here, but if you got a Bible, man, get ready. We might be jumping around a little bit. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. There we go. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Why does he have to say this? Because there's people that are going to teach other doctrine outside of the word. Or they're going to distort the word, or they're going to take the pieces that they like and they're going to pick and choose from the word. Some people, they will look at the word and they'll say it's a buffet. They'll say, ooh, I like salvation. That sounds great. We get to go to heaven. I love that. But some of the areas, they're going to say, no, I don't really like that. I don't feel that way. That's not what I feel like doing. And they trust their feelings more than their faith in God's word and what he said and that it is good and that it is finished. And so they decide to either take away from the word or they add to it. There are some that are going to teach other doctrine. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. Jesus, may our hearts be made pure today. From a good conscience and from sincere faith. From which some, having strayed, it's already happened. That's why he's writing this letter. Some have already strayed. They've turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. There are those teaching and saying that they're doing it in the name of Jesus, But they are picking and choosing and deciding to teach the doctrine that they want, that they feel good about. We can see this in our world today. We know it's happening. This is a warfare, church, just so you know. And you cannot wage good warfare unless you know the word. If you're taking notes today, write that down. I cannot wage good warfare unless I know the word. Live in the word. I saw this quote this week, and I love it. People are always talking about, you know, what books you read in, what books are you in. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a Christian book, non-Christian book. I saw this quote, and I love it, and this is for our house. I want to encourage you today. Live in the word. You can visit other places. You can visit other books, but you need to live in the word. Make the word your home. Some of us, we're living in the world's books. We're living in other people's books, and we're living in other people's worlds, and we're not making a home in his word. And then some of us, we don't even like to read. And so we just kind of excuse it, and we just say, well, I'm not a reader. Stop speaking that over your life. And now there's too many other ways you can do it. You can go Audible, you can get on YouTube, and I'm sure you can find some old guy in a rocking chair reading the Bible. Like, you can find anything on YouTube. You can find something. You can get into the word. The word was passed down orally for years before we got it in the written form. Find a way to get in the word and to live in the word, because you can't wage good warfare without the word. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, there's too many teachers out there that say, hey, the Old Testament, the law, all that, we don't need it anymore. It's meaningless, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. We sang these worship songs. We know the truth of God's word and what it says. But because we love him, all of a sudden we learn to love his word, and we learn to love his law, and we realize that his law is a better way. And so we see that there is a benefit when we begin to walk in unity and harmony with his word, because it is a prescription to prosper. He wants to prosper you. John said it in 3 John, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and in your health, just as your soul prospers. Above all things, he wants your soul to prosper. And as your soul prospers, as you're being renewed and regenerated, your mind is being made new, every other area of your life is going to prosper. Because your soul is connected to your flesh. And so what's happening within you spiritually, within your soul, it is having an effect on you physically. And so if you're suffering physically, understand this. Lean into the word and see what he's got for you, because there is healing. It says in Proverbs, his word is like healing. It's like medicine. It brings strength to your bones. Let his word do that. Begin to live in the word today. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Many of us, we did it ignorantly in unbelief. I don't know what your sin was. I don't know what you were walking in, what you were trapped in by this world, what the darkness was. But when the law was revealed, it was a light into the darkness. And you realized that you were a sinner and that you needed to repent and turn back to the living God. That's what his law does. It exposes the darkness. And all of a sudden, when we're made aware of it, we're not ignorant anymore. But as you step in to the light and out of ignorance, you need to realize now all of a sudden the way you walk what you're called to, it's a higher calling. You can't blame ignorance anymore. You've been exposed to the light. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Back to our first verse. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Jesus, let us wage good warfare today. In your name, amen. Revelation 2, verse 18. And to the church, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. You can be a church. You can be a person that Jesus says, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service, your faith, and your patience. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Nevertheless, I have this against you. I pray that God is raising up a church in this hour of this time that he won't have to say that to. That's my prayer. I just pray that we will know the word so well that we will refuse to walk in ignorance. We'll refuse to walk in tolerance. That we'll just walk by the light, and we'll let his word be the light. We'll let it be the light in the darkness, and it will be upon our path. To allow in the Greek, it's a word. It just means what we have in English today. It means to tolerate, to permit. We just allow it. We don't say anything. We don't talk about it. When Paul is talking to Timothy about these false teachers that are going to rise up and teach this other doctrine, it's a doctrine of tolerance. It's a doctrine that begins to pick and choose what they like, what they feel good about, or if they don't feel like that's a good thing to talk about, if they don't feel like we should cover that or we should talk about that because it might be offensive, it might hurt somebody's feelings, and so they avoid it. That's the spirit of Jezebel. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of Jezebel. We walk by the Holy Spirit. We listen to his voice. Some of us, we are genuinely fighting the good fight. The devil is throwing temptation after temptation, and you fight against it. You don't celebrate it. The spirit of Jezebel celebrates it. But the Holy Spirit doesn't tolerate it. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but we don't celebrate it. Because we know in that moment what happened when he gets us, when he trips us up, when we give in to the temptation, we know it's nothing to celebrate. But too many people, they let their consciences become seared and they begin to just say, no, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And we just begin to excuse it away until one day we're completely numb to it and we don't even believe it's sin anymore. We don't even believe it's wrong anymore. And there's zero conviction because our heart's gotten so hard by the spirit of this world and we refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we've quenched his voice. I just feel the searing hearts breaking right there. The hearts that were seared just broke. Because you know that's you. But praise God. Praise God for repentance. All you got to do is turn back to Him. That's all repentance is. You don't celebrate it anymore. You don't deny what God's word says about it. You don't excuse it away. You don't say, this is just who you are. This is how I was born. This is my identity. It's who God made me to be. Because you know what God's word says. And you know it's sin. You know it breaks the Father's heart. You know your sin is why Jesus had to die on the cross. But because of the cross, we're forgiven. Because of the cross, we're washed, clean by the blood, renewed by His word, cleansed. So keep fighting the good fight. Keep waging good warfare because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm believing that there's freedom today for you. Because I know there's freedom for me. I know. I felt that temptation to just say, no, it's not a big deal. It's small. But even the small things, even the small things the devil will use to stop up our heart, to sear us, to sear our conscience, to get us numb to his word and his voice. And that leads down a path where we begin to celebrate it. Don't give in to the lies of the father of lies. Don't give in to pride. First Corinthians 10, verse 18. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? An idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. When Paul's talking there about eating, what table are you eating from? Are you eating from the table of demons? Or are you eating just from the cup of the Lord, from the Lord's table? Some of us, we keep trying to eat from both tables. To eat, we just think so often of just the physical. But to eat in the Greek, it was used literally and figuratively. What are you eating? What are you consuming? What are you consuming? What are you eating spiritually? What are you eating and drinking of the world? What are you letting into the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you? 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? There's some of us, we love the taste of the world. We love what the world has to offer. We just keep eating and consuming. And then we wonder why we struggle to have faith. We wonder why we struggle to just even feel like going to church on Sunday mornings or going to small group, or we feel because we're so fat and full off the world, we don't want anything from the table of the Lord. We just keep eating and consuming from what the world has to offer. We listen to their music. We watch their shows. We watch their movies. We watch their games. We do it all. And we just, what are we doing? We're consuming. We consume with our eyes. We consume with our mouth. We consume with every sense within us. And we just keep tasting from the table of demons. That leads us to this place of tolerance. That leads us to this place where the spirit of the world, it wants to lead us. Who's the god of this world? Satan. That's what it says there in 2 Corinthians. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And so, yeah, we might believe right now. We might be walking in it right now. But we might be just thinking like, man, I can still have the best of both worlds. And we just keep eating from the world. Everything we consume, it's affecting us in the spirit. It's affecting us in our soul. We compromise with what God's word says. We partner with the world. The spirit of Jezebel, this other spirit, the spirit from the world, this demonic spirit, we get a picture of it throughout Scripture. We get this picture from John in Revelation. We get another picture of it in Genesis 39, the spirit wants to cut down God's people. This is the life of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 7. He's been sold into slavery by his own brothers. He knew the call of his life. He'd been given a dream by God about what was ahead, and it was great things. It was to be a leader that many people would bow down to. That he would be a godly leader that God was raising up. So his brothers, they try to cut him down first, and they sell him into slavery to Egypt. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. He was working for a guy named Potiphar who was second in Egypt. And this woman, Potiphar's wife, saw him and longed for him. And she went to him and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in his house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her. He did not yield to her. The world tries to seduce us, tries to get us to yield, to give in, to partner with her, to lie with her, to be with her. This spirit says you can have both. You can continue to walk in the master's house. You can continue to live and lead in the master's house, and you can have me. That's what the world says. You can be a son of God. You can be a daughter of God. You can live in his house. You can live out the calling he has on your life, and you can also have me. That's what the world says. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of Jezebel. She says you can have both. You can be a man of honor in his house. You can be trustworthy and committed, and you can be everything that God has called you to be, but you can also have me. That's a lie from the devil. We see this picture here. So she kept coming after him day after day. But it happened about this time, verse 11, when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. The world will try to grab you. The world will try to pull you in. The world will do everything it can. But you still have a choice. You still have free will. He left his garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he's brought to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that, I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. If you won't partner with the world will try to cut you down. If you won't partner with the spirits of this world, if you refuse to yield, they will do everything they can to attack you, to cut you down, to try to pull you out of the place and assignment that the Lord has called you and created you for. You've been called and created. He's the Father. He placed you here on purpose. He called you and created you for such a time as this. There's a great purpose on your life. If you're here today, you need to know that. There's a great calling on your life, and the devil wants to cut you down. The devil wants to pull you out of that assignment. The devil wants to first try to seduce you, to get you to choose the world, get you to choose him. And if he can't, he will do everything he can to attack and cut you off, to cut off the assignment that God has placed on your life. Proverbs 7, verse 6. "For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart." That's that same spirit. This is the spirit of Jezebel. This is the spirit of the world. This is what she does. This is how she works. "She was loud and rebellious." If you're trying to figure out what spirit you're listening to, if you're trying to figure out what spirit people in your lives are listening to, begin to look for some of the red flags. When you begin to see loud and rebellious, you need to know that's a red flag in your spirit. If you got, you might have somebody in your life right now that you've been like just trusting and going to for advice, but when you start to look at some of these red flags, you might realize, I don't know if this person is walking in wisdom. And that doesn't mean you need to cut this person off. Like, no. You love the person, you encourage them, you try to build them up. But you also need to understand there might need to become some boundaries where you're not taking advice on how you live your life anymore from this person. Rebellion is one of the biggest red flags. When you begin to see that dishonor, that rebellion for any type of authority or leadership, because all authority and leadership are established by God, that should be a red flag in your spirit that you need to be cautious. This woman, she's loud and rebellious. This spirit is loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times, she was outside. At times, in the open square, lurking at every corner. She is not loyal. If there's somebody trying to give you advice and say, you don't need to do that. You don't owe them anything. You don't need to be loyal there. Like, if there's somebody trying to tell you, like, you need to be disloyal, like, that husband of yours, that wife of yours, if they're giving you the advice, like, you deserve better, you should go, you should do this or this, like, you don't need, no. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not. Some of us, we just surround ourselves with the people that will tell us what we want to hear and not what we need to hear. And we surround ourselves with people that know what the spirit of the world says. Do what you feel good about. Do what just makes you feel so. I mean, just take care of yourself. Take care of number one, self-love, right? No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of this world. Begin to look for these red flags and notice them and begin to seek and ask God for people that are walking in wisdom. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're looking for wisdom, there's people in this house that God is raising up that are walking in wisdom and are learning to wage good warfare because they're learning to walk by the Spirit, by faith, and not by sight. Surround yourselves with these types of people. Get into community. Get into a Monday night group. Get into a Friday night group. Find some people that you can be with. They're going to walk in wisdom that you can go to for godly advice because you can get all the advice you want from the world, but it leads down the wrong path. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. Once again, Jezebel is so good at sounding spiritual and doing the right things. Like you can have both. I'm doing my peace offerings, I'm making my vows, but I also want to sleep with you. I want the world and the word. I want both. No. That's not loyalty. That's not honor. That's rebellion. That's disloyalty. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. The world will seduce you with everything it has. It looks good. It sounds good. It smells good. But it's rotten. It's death. It's destruction. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. The world will tell you, you can get away with it. Just like Potiphar's wife, you can get away with it. You can have me and you can have your position. That's why we see so many pastors and leaders that fall because they believe the lie of the world. They were enticed by the world and they said, I can have both. I can still do what I know I should be doing, do what I've been called to do, what I've been created to do, but I can still have the world. I can still have what I want, and I can still have what I desire. Create in us a clean heart. Create in us a pure heart. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. The world will flatter you. The world will tell you what you want to hear. The world will tell you what you desire to hear. Don't fall for flattery. Once again, flattery is a red flag. If you have somebody that's constantly just telling you all the time everything that you want to hear, everything that makes you feel good, don't confuse that with the truth. Don't confuse that with his word. Flattery is a form of deception. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Don't be ignorant. You need to know and be aware that friendship with the world is enmity with God. It separates us. It will cost us our lives. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Don't take that path. 1 Kings 16, verse 29. This is where we see Jezebel. When John brings up Jezebel, he's talking about a spirit of Jezebel. This is the actual Jezebel that we find in Scripture. 1 Kings 16, verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. He took a wife of another people. One of the main, most basic things the king was to do was to familiarize himself, was to read through the Torah, to know God's word. And if he would have just done that, if he would have been living in the word, he would have known that it says not to marry someone outside of God's people, especially if you're the king. God's holy and chosen people. And he went and married someone who worships Baal. And he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. He didn't just worship Baal, he built a temple to Baal. And he made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. He married this woman, Jezebel, whose name literally meant unhusbanded. She was rebellious. She wanted control. She wanted power. That's the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world refuses to submit, refuses to honor those who God has placed in leadership. It's a rebellious spirit. It's unhusbanded. It refuses to submit and honor. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. This is all in the same story here. Man, if you've never read this story, just go back. Start 1 Kings 16 and just keep on reading. It's incredible. The Lord sent the word to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. They'd been in a three-year drought. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria, and Ahab had called out Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. Jezebel wants to kill the prophets. She wants to kill those who are following and listening to the Spirit of the Lord. She had massacred the prophets of the Lord. That Obadiah, he had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave. And he would feed them with bread and water. Jezebel, through seduction and through murder, wants to control and kill God's church. 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. This is after the face-off at Mount Carmel. Elijah faces off with the prophets of Baal. And God shows up. And then Elijah wipes out the prophets of Baal with the people that were there. So when Jezebel finds out, she sends a messenger, it says in verse 2, to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. This is a man who had just walked in one of the greatest moments of faith ever. He saw God bring down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. But in this moment, when Jezebel threatens him, he takes off and he runs for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. If you won't partner with Jezebel, she will hunt you down and try to kill you. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. If you've had thoughts of death, if you've had thoughts of just wanting life to be over, I just want to encourage you today that those don't come from you. That's not who you are. Do not identify. Don't just say, oh, I'm just suicidal. I struggle this way. No. You're under spiritual attack. That spirit wants to kill you and cut you off. Don't listen to that spirit. Rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. If you feel that today, you just need to know, be encouraged. He came so that you can have life and life to the full. He wants to set you free today. So he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. If you feel like you are being spiritually attacked in this season, I'm telling you right now, you just need to get away. You just need to be alone with the Lord. You just need to rest. We're susceptible to the devil's attacks when we just keep running and running out of our own power and our own strength. And we stop. If we would just stop and sit in his presence, he would renew us. Worship team, would you just come up as we get ready? As we close today, I just want you to be renewed in this moment. I want you to be refreshed. If you feel like you've been under attack these last few weeks, like the devil's been trying to cut you down, like the devil's been trying to tempt you at every corner, like he just keeps trying to get you to partner with him, and you refused, you didn't give in, but now he's trying to cut you down and kill you and take you out, let me tell you something, he has no power, because you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ, and we go from glory to glory, and he's going to move right now in this moment, and he's going to heal you. He's going to restore you. It's a moment to just sit in his presence, to listen to his voice. God told him in verse 11, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. There was a great wind. There were rocks that were broken into pieces. There was an earthquake. There was fire. But then there was a still small voice." That was when he heard him. He wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Just stop and wait on the Lord today. And you might feel like he hasn't spoken to you. You might feel like it's been a long time since he's spoken to you. And you might be struggling to believe that he will ever speak to you, but I'm just believing that it's going to happen suddenly. As we stand in this moment of worship, I'm just believing there's going to be that small voice that's going to whisper to you and just say, "I'm here. I love you. I'm for you. I want to heal you." Talk to the Lord. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." It might feel like you're all alone, but you're not alone. It might feel like you're small in number, but God is raising up a remnant in this hour. There's a revival taking place. There's fire pouring down. And I just believe he's preparing your hands for war so that you can wage good warfare. When the devil comes, you won't give in. You won't partner with the devil. You won't tolerate the devil. You won't stand with the devil. You won't ignore the devil. You'll just walk in your authority over the devil. You'll walk in everything he's called you and created you to be. When the lies come that your life doesn't matter, you'll remember that you were called and created for such a time as this. That your life has a purpose, that your life has a meaning. That you'll stand tall, that you'll stand in the gap, that you'll stand up for those that don't have a voice, that you'll stand up for the weak, for the oppressed, for those who are far from Him, for those that hate Him right now, because you know and believe that they will come to the knowledge of Him who is greater. They'll come to a knowledge that the devil is a liar and that he's a god of this world and that he's tried to deceive God's people, but we won't walk in the lies, we'll walk in the truth. Let's stand up as we worship Him today.